Well, it's been rolling around in our Catholic media, both in the Catholic Spirit and here on Practicing Catholic, on our Twitter accounts, our Instagram accounts, all the ways that you connect with the Archdiocese, that yes, we are all headed back to Mass in just 1 week's time. The first weekend of July marks the reinstatement of the obligation to attend Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. Here with me to talk about that and to explain a little bit further, to explore it, is our very own Chief Shepherd, Archbishop Hebda. Archbishop Hebda, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patrick. Good to hear you.
Always good to hear you as well, Archbishop. So let's start. I just wanted the personal take on this. When you were announcing for the first time, when it was really becoming public that you were lifting the dispensation, the obligation was going to be reinstated, what kind of an effect, what was going on within you personally, Archbishop?
Thank you for the question. You know, certainly since the time in 2020 when we suspended the obligation to attend Sunday Mass, it's been something that's been on my heart and on my mind, because this is the most important thing that we do. And so to have a time when, after all of these centuries, where we would be telling people that regularly they would be dispensed from attending Sunday Mass, knowing that the Eucharist is the source and summit of our lives, there was a certain sadness that was there. Obviously, there was a real need for that as well, especially when we were coming to first face the pandemic and we weren't sure exactly what was expected. And so I certainly understood why it is that we needed to do that. And I was grateful to have the support of the bishops of Minnesota and in doing that. And indeed, we had bishops across the country who thought in very much the same way internationally as well. So I know it was something that was very much needed, but I've certainly been looking forward to that time when we might be able to all gather back together. And that's been happening gradually. And the one area where we still had not really returned to normalcy was in restoring the obligation. And I'm grateful that so many people have been coming out of a sense of desire for the Eucharist, and not because it's a Sunday obligation, but certainly to have it reflected in our norms as well as in our behavior, that this is so important to us. I'm happy that the bishops of Minnesota have decided, and I certainly supported that, that we would be asking all to return to Mass with the obligation to attend Mass beginning the first weekend in July. So for me, there was a sense of relief in that it seemed like we were returning to normalcy. I also have a great sense of gratitude that we've been able to pull through the pandemic in a way that many people have been able to continue to be nourished by the Eucharist, whether it be in person or virtually. Certainly seeing the great cost that was involved in the pandemic. I know we lost a good number of our brothers and sisters, and many people have been very concerned about that, especially those who are in healthcare. So I'm grateful that this signals to me personally, and I think to our church, that we've moved beyond the worst part of this pandemic, and that it's something that we're able to manage. So I'm very grateful for that.
Wonderful. As an archdiocese, are there things that you and your staff are doing to help prepare parishes to welcome the faithful back to Mass in a way? I know that you've been talking about, you've been welcoming people back to Mass even prior to, in prior weeks here in the last few weeks. Anything specifically that your offices are doing to help parishes get ready for this, hopefully, a surge of attendance here in the first weekend in July?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm not sure it's going to be a surge, because we've had so many people that have been coming back. Anecdotally, I'm hearing that most of our parishes have already seen a great influx of people coming back as they've been vaccinated, as the statistics get better. People are feeling more comfortable in coming back. So we've already been seeing that. But as an archdiocese, and then really working with the bishops across the state, we've seen it as being very important that we would prepare communication resources that would help people to come back for sure. Here in the Archdiocese, we were at the forefront of preparing something called backtomassmn.org. And it's a place where anybody could find resources and reasons for how important it is that we return to an in-person celebration of the Eucharist. And so certainly the work that's being done by our communications department, certainly the work that's being done by our department for divine worship, for the liturgy, those things have been incredibly important for us, most especially in working with our pastors and staffs at our parishes who have the concrete responsibility of welcoming people back. So we've been certainly trying to work very closely with our pastors and other leaders in the parish to be able to support that work. I've had the great pleasure over the course of the spring to meet with many of our deaneries, and I've been invited to different deanery meetings. And as it became clear that we would soon be lifting the dispensation, I was asking the pastors and priests and sometimes deacons who were engaged in those meetings what it is that they would need to be able to do that. And most of them said that they would need probably about a month to begin to prepare. They certainly would appreciate resources on why the Eucharist is so significant for us in building up our family, and why it is that we would consider this something that is a step forward. So we're remotely preparing those resources. We've been having those discussions with our priests, and we certainly have been grateful that over these past weeks in June, that our pastors and parish staff leaders have been able to prepare for what we hope will be a joyful return the first weekend in July for many people who have not yet returned to the celebration of Mass. Hmm.
Depending on people's experience of the pandemic and of COVID-19, of course, Archbishop, there's going to be some people who are saying, no, it's too soon to do this. There'll be others who are saying, why didn't it happen sooner? Just wondering if you can share really with all of us, specifically, what were the things that were going into consideration for when should the dispensation be lifted?
Yes. So, first of all, we had decided as the bishops of the state that we wanted to do this all together. So we wanted a time when it would be possible for each parish within our state to be able to welcome people back. Certainly a big part of that consideration had to do with social distancing. Many of our parishes, especially small churches outstate, were concerned that with the executive order that had come from Governor Walz, that we would not have the possibility to really welcome back the number of people that we needed. In a small church, if you have to stay 6 feet away from those who aren't related to you, then the numbers were relatively small. And so we had to wait for a time when that would no longer be a limiting factor. And we were grateful that was happening. Initially, that was that was planned. We had in the latest developments from the governor that we knew that there was progress being made both with masks and with social distancing. And so as it became clear that was going to be a possibility, we wanted to act as soon as possible while also giving our pastors and parish lay leadership the opportunity to prepare for that as well. I have been hearing from some who have said it's too soon. And I think that's where it's really important to look at the suggestions that were made, those indicators that were made in the communication from the bishops, as to situations where somebody might still be excused from the celebration of the Sunday Eucharist. In terms of those who said, why didn't this happen sooner? We've been really grateful that nobody has been prevented from coming. So those who have wanted to have come have been able to do that ever since Pentecost of 2020. And so whether they were doing it out of charity or out of obligation was certainly a distinction. But we were really happy that nobody was prevented from coming back to church since Pentecost of 2020. So it didn't seem like it was crucial to be able to lift the dispensation before we would be able to accommodate people throughout our state and in a way in which people would feel that they were safe in coming back. And we certainly think that we're in that position now, and we're grateful that we'll be able to begin with that in the month of July.
Wonderful. you mentioned just a moment ago, Archbishop, about some of the typical conditions that would allow for a dispensation from the Sunday obligation. Could you just outline those for us and for any interested listeners who might fall into one of those categories and would still be ordinarily dismissed from the dispensed from the obligation?
Yes. So, I mean, the church never holds us to doing the impossible, right? And so always there's that opportunity to make reasonable determinations about what's really possible and what's reasonable in a given situation. So when we have a snowstorm and it becomes dangerous for people to come to church, they recognize that it's not a mortal sin to not come, right? It becomes very, very clear. In much the same way in related to COVID, right? So if somebody feels that there's a great risk to their health, that there are circumstances in their health that would render them significantly compromised, that and there's a great fear about coming back, you know, they wouldn't be expected to come back in those circumstances. Or somebody that's presently exhibiting flu-like symptoms that could be COVID, they certainly aren't obligated to come. And in fact, we would rather that they would stay home. Or if you've someone who's been exposed to COVID or to any highly contagious disease or virus, even if they're asymptomatic, if there's that possibility that they're just in that period where it has not yet appeared, they would certainly be dispensed, because we would hope that out of concern for their brothers and sisters, that they would be staying home. But there are all kinds of situations that we normally face as well. So, you know, the mom or dad who's taking care of the sick child and who's not able to leave the home to come to Mass, of course they're excused. Or much the same if in these circumstances, if you're taking care of somebody who would be highly susceptible to COVID, huh? And you have to be really mindful of your responsibility to take care of the sick or the homebound or the infirm. You wouldn't want to put them at risk. That would be an area where you could be excused as well. Huh? The bishops of the state spoke also about women who are expecting a child, that if they're, you know, this might not be they might be excused during this period from coming to Mass. But obviously it's a determination that each person has to make. We think that people are able to really examine their conscience to figure out if these are true reasons for them. Certainly, if they need help in that process, we're encouraging them to contact their pastors, who are really masters at looking at these situations. So that's certainly, I think, a good advice for anybody who might have a delicate conscience or is concerned about moving forward, that they would be able to speak with their pastor and make a prudent decision based on their discussions. But it's ultimately a decision of conscience.
My conscience is suggesting to me that my 10:30 a.m. tea time on Sunday morning is not sufficient excuse for a dispensation. So maybe not. I'll make the tea time for 2:30 in the afternoon. How about that?
Or all right, could get you to Mass earlier in the morning, Patrick.
There you go. Yeah, very good. Well, we don't have a lot of time remaining, Archbishop, but maybe just one or two ways that we can continue to pray for you during this great going back to, like you said, some semblance of normalcy.
Yes. Well, please pray for not only for me, but for all of the faithful of our archdiocese, that we might always have the Eucharist at the very center of our lives, that it might be also that place where we gather strength to then go forward into the world and to serve, and that we might continue to find ways of reaching out to our brothers and sisters who might not yet be able to return to the full celebration of the Eucharist in person. So if you could keep that intention in mind, I would be really grateful, Patrick.
Absolutely. We will do that. And we would love to do that under the guise of your blessing, Archbishop. Would you offer your blessing as we say goodbye?
Yes. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, Archbishop Hebda, we are rejoicing with you, and we are thankful for your continued leadership. We'll be praying for you. God bless you, Archbishop. Thank you.
Thank you. See you in church.
All right. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll chat with one of our favorite regular guests, Allison Spees from the Archdiocesan Archives. Will regale us, I am sure, with more inspirational tales from our collective past. Stay with us.